this nation has
there are four essential economic freedoms.
The excessive decline
greed
in the dollar,
for lack of a better word.
Late rally on Wall Street.
Too big to fail.
Growing the economy.
Growing the economy.
Economy.
Welcome.
Yeah. This is Money Talks.
Good morning. You're listening to Atlanta's longest running, most respected radio show, and we are excited to be here. Well, welcome to Money Talks. I'm Matt Haynes, CTFA, here with the good Dr. Gene Hensler.
Good to be here. To be here. I'll be in Florida next week. I'll be thinking about you guys.
Okay.
Not much. Not much.
Good to know.
Only if you need something.
I'm giving you some warning.
Here also with Troy Harmon, CFA. Director of Research here at the firm, and we got a lot to talk about this week. A lot of things have happened, plenty to discuss. And
so mixed stuff, man. The thing I'm looking at, that the economic numbers are so weird.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, again, this is not a growing, hustling economy.
Right.
I'm looking at durable good orders. Do you see that?
Yep.
They fell 3.4%.
Exactly.
That's a big doggone hit.
It is.
And then the next thing is the existing home price appreciation has decelerated.
Right, yeah. It's not falling. The prices aren't declining, but they are decelerating. And you know, the Fed met this week, and that's a big part of the discussion as well. When they're talking about growth, they say that employment numbers are normalizing, so we're getting, you know, lower and lower unemployment. But at the same time, the growth is not really doing too well, especially if you look at the inflation numbers, which generally growth spurs inflation, and we're just not seeing inflation right now. I think what they're hoping, and what I'm hoping too, is that the moves from the European Central Bank last week might make some difference and start growth outside the you know, our domestic economy, which can be infectious.
Well, we talked about that last week, right? I mean,
right.
We got into whether or not that might spur money coming this way.
And we talk about we're going to be talking about some companies' earnings, but the international companies are getting hammered. I mean, like we're looking at you know, Caterpillar, et cetera, and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, and part of that, and that adds to the bewilderment of everything too. It's not just the economy, but our earnings season is just nuts. You have one company that comes out and says, because of low oil prices, we don't see very many people having capital expenditures. And then you have somebody like Boeing who says, you know, we don't really look at it that way. What's good for the airlines is good for us. And right now, low oil prices are great for them.
Yeah.
So you see a Caterpillar that's down huge in one day, you know, 10% maybe over a couple of days. And you see Boeing that's up 10% over a couple of days. Two huge industrial companies. It seems like the whole market is taking the news one good and one bad.
Obviously, when oil prices go down, it's bad for anybody who has to do something with the oil business.
Sure.
Okay.
Right.
Yep.
Refiners, not necessarily refiners, because these people still want the gas. But
right.
The bottom line is that, but to offset the hurting, then oil is an input for everybody else.
Right.
And it's a cost of doing business.
Right.
And so you've got 90-some% of the people out there who low oil prices are good for.
So how much does that affect? And, you know, as we look down some of the other numbers that came out, you know, your consumer confidence, it, you know, highest reading since August of 07.
No,
well, you know why?
Again, same story.
You know, the deal is why? Oil prices are down.
Exactly. Right.
And they feel good. But you take a look at, if you follow through these things, that number comes out and everybody says, yeah, people are happy, they have stuff. They're not going to spend it on houses and cars and stuff.
That's what it seems. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not. They say, no, we're not going to do that. What are they doing? They're cutting back. They're cutting back. As one person said, it's ramen noodles only one day a week rather than 4 days a week.
That's right.
You might get to go out to a restaurant.
That's a fact. Restaurants are hopping because of that. It's the extras that people gave up, okay?
Yep.
To do that. So
right. You know, you're talking about houses and the difference there. Now, I heard one pretty interesting perspective this week. When you're talking about home price index, when you have supply that's short, Obviously, it drives prices higher. But if you look further, we see new home sales this week shot up 11.6% in December, above their November volume. So when you start seeing new supply coming into the market, it's really not that surprising when you see the Case-Shiller Home Price Index begin to slow.
Right.
Well, I think that's new houses, is it? Because the new house prices are up.
Well,
Case-Shiller's existing homes.
Well, no, Case-Shiller is the overall market.
Is
yeah,
it?
Right.
Well, 90% of the overall market is houses in the secondary market.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
So that's the biggest thing going on.
Yeah.
What I'm reading, what's going on with housing, is that the big growth and everything else is in the high-priced homes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that no one's building the low-priced homes. What they'd rather do than build low-priced homes is people are building apartment buildings.
Yeah, so yeah. I met last night, was at a meeting locally. We'll just say that in the North Metro Atlanta area with a home builder. And to your point, they're building higher-end stuff. Now, granted, the economics, the socioeconomic area, Northwest Metro Atlanta, where we happen to be located,
yeah,
is what it is. But, you know, it's a developer looking to get zoning on a piece of property, and they're looking to get really thick density, but they're going to do separate detached homes, 4 units per acre.
Yeah, it's
dense. But they're going to be building in a 3s and 4s.
Really?
So to your point, the new product that's going on the ground is not a cheap product. And,
right,
and the strength in the sales volume is on the higher end stuff, whether it is true jumbo type mortgages on bigger houses or even in what you'd consider smaller places, the price of them is going up.
They were building homes, the site, the Overlook, which is adjacent to the Marietta Country Club.
Uh-huh, in Kennesaw?
Yeah. 5 years ago, they were building homes in there in the 200s, okay? And then they were building no homes for
three years, four years.
Right. The homes they're putting in there, same size lots, et cetera, and less desirable. Not bad lots, don't get me wrong,
right,
because the good lots are always picked first by people.
Sure.
500s, 600s, 700s.
Right. And there's an adjacent housing project going too.
By Lennar.
Right.
And those prices are starting to, what, 400s?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
So, yeah, and I mean, you got to believe, too, that the fact that interest rates are still where they are on the 10-year, which is driving, you know, your 30-year fixed mortgages. I mean, it came down, what, 1 basis point this week?
Yeah.
So we're still at 3.8% on the average 30-year fixed mortgage.
Right. Yeah, but
money's just cheap.
Take a young couple, all right, and they can talk all they want to talk about FHA is only going to go 3% or 5% down. The vast majority of people get conventional financing from banks. And, you know, the banks aren't going to touch them unless they got 20% down and a great, not a good, a great credit rate. You're not going, 650 is not going to make it anymore.
Right.
On that. Or they're not going to lend their own money and put their own money at risk.
Right, because they can't lay it off.
So it's tough for a young couple to go out in the good old days or the bad old days, cause the bad old days. We had 10% down or 5% down, and they could get a 30-year mortgage at a very low rate of interest. They could afford to get into a house.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, those who got into those houses overpaid for them, and today they're paying the price.
Right. You can see a conventional 30-year mortgage, the rate didn't hardly move this week. It went from 380 to 3.81, so, you know, it's still really
just the opposite of Fell One. 3.81.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
380. I mean, last week I read a week-old news, and you didn't even mention it.
And so you're going to make sure and check me today. All right, I appreciate that.
You know, I think we've got time here to talk briefly about the market.
Right.
Yep.
And, Troy, why don't you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, we had two big tech companies come out. Microsoft matched earnings expectations with 71 cents per share, is what the market expected. Said that they should bring their sales, you know, to $5.5 billion with a new division this year. But that wasn't the real big news. The big news was one of their competitors, Apple, who came out with $3.06 per share when they were expected at 2.6, and I know Matt's got lots to talk about here. He's a huge fan.
Me too.
But you know, the thing is, they said that during the quarter they sold 74.5 million iPhones, 46% jump over the previous year.
So
at higher prices.
So
oh yeah.
So at higher prices, bigger margins.
Right. So on the conference call, here's the quote, right? So Tim Cook makes this statement. So on average, they sold about 34,000 iPhones every hour, 24 hours a day, every day of the quarter.
Yep.
That's about nine amazing. And a half phones every second of every day.
And I want you to think about this. I was looking before we came up here. Based on projected next year earnings, they're selling for 14 times earnings. Compare that to the market. And they're growing at 14%. Now, this might change the growth factor a bit on this thing. And I got scared a little bit because they quoted this number. I hate to always see that because the government gets their nose into your business. $556 per person.
Wow.
Now, President Obama would say it would only be fair if they gave everybody in America $556,000. They're
it
making too much money. It would only be fair. Everybody's got to do their fair share.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about the market. The market is down, and it's down 2.15.
Right.
And leading the way is the energy index.
Exactly.
That comes as a surprise.
Yeah, you would expect that.
Then financials, and infotech. Okay.
Right.
The leaders are utilities, healthcare, and consumer staples.
Right.
Yeah, not only the leaders, the only ones that are positive.
Right. Yeah, I look through, of course, financials are down so big because of earnings season, down 5.7%. But about 40% of the way through fourth quarter earnings, we're looking at revenue growth at about 2.5% overall for all companies and earnings at about 4.6%. And I know the banks were actually what was weighing negatively on the financials. And now that they're a little more than halfway through, that's actually starting to show a little more reasonable. I think they were down like 22% at one point.
Well, they're the only ones that come through the earliest.
Early, right, exactly.
So your insurance companies and other things, all those come in later.
Right, and they usually make their money on a bond portfolio.
Well, and that's
more
an
or less.
That's an interesting point, Gene. I mean, the insurance carriers and those coming in late. And we talked about this briefly, maybe off the air last week, I think, is how so many of the big banks – the true pure play banks that make a ton of money on spread and or trading are getting hit. But the banks that are more diversified
– banks that are banks as we used to know them.
Correct, are getting hurt. But the ones that are more diversified, like we mentioned, like a BB&T who's got a huge insurance portfolio, they're actually faring pretty well. Your regional guys.
And just banks. I mean,
SunTrust.
Guys who don't deal – didn't make all their money in the trading market and stuff like that. I don't know for absolutely 100% sure. I don't think you can go into a J.P. Morgan in New York City and make a deposit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
It's all trading.
It's all trading. It's all business.
Yeah, business banking.
They don't want anything else. Their own employees don't have accounts there.
Sometimes. Wow.
It's
ATM for them.
No, not on that. So – that may change a little bit, but who knows.
We're going to take a break. As always, you can call us at 1-855-429-9166, or you can email us at
770-429-9166.
That's right, locally. Or email us at drgene@hensler.com, and we'll be right back.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.